Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
What up, people? This is Speaking Like You Thinking Radio. I'm your host, Nas, joined by one of the All-Star cast members, the one and only professor of all things sports, Mr. Craig Barzee. What up, Barzee?
Ain't nothing, man. What's happening?
Hey, man. Been drinking all day, brother. Been drinking all day. Been off, so I've been drinking. So keep it 100 with you on this show. You definitely going to have to hold it down more tonight, man, because your boy is feeling good. But,
shit, man, let's get a quick one in, man.
Yeah, man, let's knock this show out real quick. Y'all know what we do if you listen to the show as far as sports is concerned. So we're just going to hit the big games and get out. So we got to talk this SEC Iron Bowl, Auburn versus Alabama, one of the best games I ever saw. I'm going to go ahead and say that as far as college football. But surprise ending. Let's start with the end first. Field goal, or should he just went for the Hail Mary? Did you question Nick Saban's judgment in this past game?
Well, I can't say I question it. To me, I looked at it as like, you know, you're taking a shot to win the game. 57, you know, they haven't been kicking great all day that day. The primary kicker missed the 3 field goals.
Right.
So
I was
brought in that other
4th and 1, too. That's
yeah.
What I mean with decisions with Nick Saban the other day.
Yeah, to me personally, you know, I thought that, you know, hey, I didn't fault him at that moment. You know, hindsight being 2020, you say, well, you know, McCarron was throwing the ball pretty good. They were hitting some deep passes. Why not take the Hail Mary? But at the time, I didn't question the decision. I still kind of don't because, you know, it's a shot. If they, you know, the dude, you know, kicks it, you know, kicks a good one, you know, you got a shot to win the game. There were 1 second left on the clock. It's a shot. So I really don't tend to question the decision. What I question is the minute that you see Auburn is not selling out on the kick as far as to try and block the kick, and they've got a man sitting underneath the goal, to in case it comes short, then they can run back out. If you know that your kick team is littered with the linemen and damn offensive and defensive linemen. And, in protection, I don't know why you don't have at least somebody who's a gunner who's running down preparing that, especially if you see that Auburn has a guy underneath the goalpost.
Yeah, but Barzee, in a game where you're missing field goals like you are, aren't you going to be more worried about the block, the placement, the hold, to the point to where you don't pay attention to the guy back there because you're so focused on making sure you get the technical stuff down with this kick because of how bad it's gone during this day.
Exactly what happened. They were focused on the kick. They were so proud. They weren't even thinking about. I think in all logic, they were thinking the kick was going to either go long and miss, or he might make it. I don't think they were thinking it would be kicked short and the dude would run it back.
Right.
I think they were thinking long and out the back of the end zone if he missed the kick. But it didn't seem to me that they were prepared because when the kick is in the air and it's coming down, they were more watching the kick instead of running back and getting in lanes prepared to tackle. A lot of those guys were just like, and maybe it's just those guys getting caught up in the moment.
Yeah, it's the moment. It's the special teams difficulties they had during the day. Wait a minute. Right now we're joined by Cowboys fan extraordinaire, fantasy football genius, James Roberts on the call. James, let me place this to you like this. We were just talking about did Nick Saban have some bad decisions the other day. Let me put it to you like this. If you're A.J. McCarron, 1 second left on the clock, you don't get a chance to throw that Hail Mary. How do you feel on the sideline before that kick even goes up? Like, what are the thoughts of A.J. McCarron? They took that moment away from him, his could-have-been Heisman moment.
Well, if I'm AJ McCarron, this guy won a championship before I got on the field, and he helped me win championships while I was on the field. So I'm trusting this guy. So, I mean, it's just 1 second. So
yeah,
what I'm thinking is we either make the kick or miss the kick and we go to overtime.
Right.
We win it or go to overtime. So, and then I'll try to win it in overtime. That's
so you're
thing.
Saying his trust in Saban and the value Saban has put out there just by his resume is making McCarron think, like, okay, we'll get in overtime. I trust coach's decision. Okay, I got you.
Yeah. So that's what I would be thinking. We might still want to throw a Hail Mary, but the percentage on the Hail Mary is probably lower than the kid making the 56-yard field goal.
No, I agree, but I just feel like it's the safest thing to do in that situation. And of course, hindsight's 2020. Well, James, let me say this. Did you think there was a big talent disparity watching the game? Because early on, I felt like Alabama was bigger, stronger, faster. But, man, by the time it got to the fourth quarter, it looked like equal athletes out there.
That's what happened when you let people hang around.
Mm-hmm.
When you let them hang around, and they think they're bigger than what they are. So that's the same thing I go by when I say you got to crush people when you got the opportunity. And if you crush them, they'll lay down. But if you let them hang around, they'll poke their chest out and think they're a big dog when they're really a little dog.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. Alabama let him hang around. I think Coach Saban maybe was to a point was arrogant and figured he could get by with some stuff just because he had a better team. And his arrogance cost him.
Okay. Well, Barzy, I know you watched the college – recruits come in, you watch the stars, you watch what teams are getting what, so you know what kind of talent is at those two schools. What did you think about what I just asked James as far as how it looked early to how it looked late?
I think the spread, man, is the ultimate equalizer, man. The up-tempo spread, it can make a team like Nick Saban like to play defense, like to run guys in and out. Sometimes you don't have the luxury when Auburn is running up tempo on you, and guys kind of get worn out. So that could be, a reason for why, it appeared to be, that maybe Auburn was fresher at the end of the game than Alabama is, because they run that pace, they practice against it, they're more conditioned for it. But I think, obviously, man, Alabama has a lot of talent. They've been recruiting like crazy over the past 4 or 5 years. So, I mean, they're stockpiled with talent. Auburn has talent, too, as well. I don't think that the record last year, was indicative of the kind of talent that they had on that team. But saying
that
–
boy, Gene Chizik.
Gene Chizik ran it in the ground. But, I think Alabama has more talent. But some of those guys are not on the field. We're not on the field, either. Some of those guys who are, high recruits are either behind some of their starters or, redshirt or true freshmen who are not playing. So,
right.
Saying that, Alabama does have more talent, but on the field, the guys who were playing, I think, the argument could be made that, it was even. It's about even as far as the playmakers, They got better wideouts and a better passing game for Bama, but they got some horses, man, on Auburn, guys who got grit and toughness, man. That Trey Mason run the rock about as hard as anyone, man. Their line is pretty good. Auburn's line is pretty good. And that spread.
Wait a minute, real quick. And Trey Mason is the son of the DJ of De La Soul, Maceo.
Yep.
Which is crazy. Lets me know I'm old.
I didn't even know that shit, man, until they said it on the on the podcast, I didn't even know that shit.
Right.
But yeah, that's crazy, man. But that kid runs hard like hell. You know, you put a running quarterback, and this is the thing, man. Alabama, all their losses are to these mobile quarterbacks, dude.
Yep.
You look at all these three, I think, was it, you know, since Cam beat them, Johnny Manziel.
Yep.
And now this guy, it's something about the spread against Alabama with a running quarterback who has that pass throwing option. And Tim Tebow beat him, too. I forgot about that. But, you know, something about that gives him trouble, man.
I don't have anything else on the game, so I just want to swing it to y'all and just whatever you want to add about the game before we move on to the next thing. James?
Yeah, I didn't really watch that much of the game. I watched like the last little bit. Alabama-Auburn. It was a big game, but I care more about Georgia Tech than I did Alabama-Auburn. So
that
game I watched the most. But like I told you, Alabama should have beat them probably by 2 touchdowns at the least. But when you let people hang around, you miss field goals, you don't make 4th-and-1s, and all that stuff just adds up to getting an opportunity, confidence, motivation, that they can hang around and play. The only thing I have to say about that is it's no fun when the rabbit has a gun.
Hey, that boy, that quarterback, what's his name, Nick Marshall, and the running back, like you said, Trey Mason, playmakers, man. They made plays. Barzy, anything else you want to add before we move on?
You know, it's saying, you know, Alabama lost, you know, I'll find it, Danny, but let's be frank, man. Ohio State lose and Missouri beat Auburn this weekend. They might be right back in that bitch again, man. You know, they never drop them motherfuckers out of the top 5 when they lose, man. They never do.
Let me just say this, man. Michigan State will not get many flags against Ohio State this weekend. Let me just say that. Y'all can take that for whatever you want to take it. But the Big Ten has a big interest in getting Ohio State in that game.
Well, I put it to you this way. If they get Urban Meyer in there, man, I ain't betting against him. I ain't betting against him. I ain't going to say that, you know, that they don't have a shot. Because, like I said, I ain't going to bet against Urban Meyer in the championship game, man.
Yeah, I think they got a shot to get it done. I think they're in there unless Auburn just goes out there and looks real good against Missouri and people kind of fall to the wayside off emotion of the SEC. Because I think if any year a one-loss SEC team didn't get in, it would be this year. I don't think the SEC is as dominant as it usually is as far as that much better than everybody else. The elite of it are still elite. Like, I'm not saying the elite aren't elite. I'm just saying the SEC's not normal this year.
I think Alabama would beat Florida State and Ohio State. No problem.
I don't think anybody could beat Florida State, myself. But I hear you, though.
As far as the Michigan State, Ohio State, I can actually agree with you about the flag and stuff, because I still remember that Miami game when they stole the championship from Miami.
And it was a suspect P.I. I'm never going to say that P.I. wasn't suspect. Never going to say that.
So, being at the way they had the current format, where you have to wait a month and a half basically before you play. So then I could probably give Ohio State a little better chance of winning if they play against Florida State. But if they would play like a week or maybe 2 weeks after the championship games, I'd be Florida State landslide. I noticed what it did to BCS, and it was kind of, I thought it was kind of funny to me.
Yeah, I mean, undefeated, Trump's a one-loss team in this year's environment. Well, let me ask y'all this then. What is your top four? Because if this was next year, we'd be having that four-team playoff. So what is your top four? If we were doing it this year, who would be in?
Florida State.
Florida State.
Alabama.
You going to Alabama?
Yeah. I'll do the Missouri-Auburn winner, and I'll put Ohio State in there.
Okay, so we're going – I guess we're basically just going what the polls say. We just got the positions a little flipped. Because I'm saying Ohio State, too, and I guess, James, you're saying you go Auburn, too, if they win the SEC championship game.
Well, what I would actually like to happen.
Okay.
I wouldn't want the two SEC teams to play each other. I want them to play other schools first, and then they either lose against the other schools, or they win, they play each other, one and one. I wouldn't want the SEC schools to have to knock each other off.
Right. Barzy, where you stand on that, man? What do you got on two? You going one loss SEC, or are you giving it to Ohio State if both teams win?
Man. Damn. I got to give it to one loss Ohio State, one loss SEC team, just based on being tested and who they played. Auburn has played a pretty tough schedule, and so has Missouri. It's pretty much their quality wins are much better than what Ohio State has played. So I would say, man, my top four would be Florida State. Even though Bama lost, I got to put Bama in there. Yeah, I'm agreeing with James probably too. I put that Missouri Auburn winner, and yeah, probably would be Ohio State. Yeah.
Okay. Well, like I said, we don't know how this is gonna play out. We got an interesting bit of news earlier that the prosecutors having a press conference, am I correct, about Jameis Winston, where he's going to announce whether they're going to file charges or not, or continue to file, continue on with these charges or drop them?
Yeah.
Am I getting that right?
That's right.
Okay, so tomorrow we know if Florida State is probably going to win the whole damn thing. And that would mean this drops in before the Heisman voting. So does that change anybody's idea about – I think all of us were unanimous in saying Jameis is not getting it with these charges out there. Does this put him back in it if he gets a favorable press conference tomorrow?
Yeah, I think he's always in it. I think the most logical people were like, hey, if there's no charges – he's been the best player on the field. I think most people were waiting until something either developed to say, to take him out of the equation. But I think he was pretty much remained on everyone's ballot. I think this bodes pretty well. I that they're holding the press conference tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't know. You could kind of say look at it like if they hold the press conference. Why don't they just issue out a statement? Maybe they're just holding a forum for questions. But I heard rumor on the street is there's going to be no forum, no charges against Jameis tomorrow. So that's what I hear.
Yeah.
Take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter too. I don't know if I'm going to believe it or not, but I guess we'll just have to wait till tomorrow and see what they're talking about with it. But yeah, I think this puts him back in it if he gets that favorable decision. I do think this puts him back in it. But I don't know, man. It's such a sad thing, man. Like I said, I hope the dude is innocent. But if he is guilty, I do hope he gets punished. Matter of fact, I don't even have to say I hope he gets punished. If he's guilty, he's going to get punished. Know that. But I guess we'll just have to see.
Yeah.
Did you two care about the Mike Tomlin thing? I didn't know if y'all wanted to talk about that or not. He's fined, I think, $100,000, and they might lose a draft pick over him stepping onto the field and impeding. I can't even think of the Baltimore returner's name.
Jacoby Jones.
Yeah, Jacoby Jones on a kick return that looked like a short touchdown.
I didn't really have a problem with the fine. If they talk about taking a draft pick away, I think that would be a bit excessive.
Yeah, that's too
because,
far.
That's something being that they don't really have a room for that at all.
Right.
I feel like they could go ahead and set a precedent and be like, okay, going forward, you lose a draft pick, something like this happens.
Yeah.
We're going to find you and going forward, because it's never happened before to my knowledge. In the modern era of the NFL.
Right. I mean, that's a heavy penalty. Barzy, where you stand on this?
Shoot, man. I was watching these highlights. What were you talking about again?
Just the Tomlin thing. Draft pick.
Oh, yeah, man. That's way too excessive, man. I watched it, man. Look, he got out of the way. But to me, I'm like, man, why the fuck Jacoby Jones slowed down for? Run the motherfucker over, man. You don't force the damn ref to make a call. Just run up his back. Run the motherfucker over, man. Don't slow down.
Oh,
I mean, he broke stride. Run the motherfucker over, man. You know, he step on the field, bolt his ass over, man. Make the refs call that shit. You know what I mean?
Cool.
I mean, I don't have a problem with it, man. Obviously, it looked intentional. He tried to say it wasn't intentional, man, but it, you know, looks intentional. He tried to clear out of the way there at the last second, but like I said, that shit's on Jacoby Jones, man. Somebody step on the field, ain't supposed to be there, man. Run the bastard over, man. That's what he should have did. And then he wouldn't have had to. He would have forced the refs to make that damn, you know, throw a flag or some shit. Would have forced that issue. So I blame that on him. Don't blame, don't say, you know, he caused him not to get on. He caused himself because he would have forced their hand if he ran his ass over, man.
Right, right.
Yes, that's an excellent point. He ran him over. They throw the flag. He gets caught. He still get a touchdown.
Mm.
They would have gave him a flag and gave him a touchdown.
Yeah. And I guess sticking with weird stuff going on in coaching. We got the Jason Kidd saga going on out there in Brooklyn. He has demoted assistant head coach Lawrence Frank to paper shuffler for $1 million a year, basically. No practice time.
Cookie go-getter.
Right. He's do boy. Can't be on the bench, anything. So I'm looking at this situation, and then I remembered, when the Nets were going good, when they were New Jersey Nets, Byron Scott was the coach. He and Jason Kidd had some tension. Jason Kidd pulled his support from Byron Scott, put it behind Lawrence Frank, got him that job, and now it's coming full circle. Because I don't get why a coach would get this mad at an assistant other than he thinks this guy is trying to undermine him as having this job or trying to take his job or get him fired. What other reason would a coach go this far?
Good question.
Yeah, I think that is the case. Or he's just using Lawrence Frank as a scapegoat for the team not doing well. And their main thing is they have an older team.
If Phil Jackson was coaching that team, they would not be winning right now. Everybody's hurt. They're too old.
Hey, man,
positions.
I tried to tell your ass. I tried to tell your ass when that trade went down. You tried to tell me they put that roster. They made. I try to say, man, that shit ain't no good, man. It's
no,
good.
Everything is based on Darren Williams being a healthy all-star. When he's been playing, he hasn't been all-star caliber, and he's been hurt. I mean, that's what everything is based on. Everything is based on he's a max guy and he's running things. So you take that away, I mean, I don't care what team you are. Take the max guy away, you're in trouble.
Did you get Kevin Garnett for leadership? Now you got Paul Pierce hurt. But even when DeRon was playing, they were 500 at best, weren't they?
That's what I'm saying. He wasn't playing at an all-star caliber. And like, Garnett is there for leadership, but he's not there because of his ability anymore. He's lost a few steps. I mean, that's obvious.
That shit is turning into a dumpster fire in that motherfucker. I don't know why. I don't know why they put the trust in Jason Kidd, the guy with no fucking head coach experience.
Yeah, but that's the
you're
wrong.
You're looking at the wrong
thing, though. It's not Jason Kidd. It's the roster. It doesn't matter who's coaching that team.
But man, they put this roster together, and then you're gonna hire a coach with no experience in a win now in a thing that you're trying to cook up to win now. With a dude with no experience, I think part of
so you're saying if you had a more credible guy at coach, it would cover up some of this right now. It wouldn't be as obvious.
Yeah, you make adjustments. You know, you would have a guy with a head coaching experience who could make adjustments. I think part of the issue with Lawrence Frank and Kidd is probably that. I think there's a fracture probably in that locker room where certain guys believe, you know, as far as Lawrence Frank, the way of, you know, what he's bringing to the table and what he's probably, you know, advising or communicating to them is, you know, is different than what Jason Kidd. And they probably, you know, Lawrence Frank has some seasoning as being a head coach.
But hold on, man.
Knows what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah, but hold on, man. This is the NBA. Larry Bird coached and had assistants do damn near everything before Isaiah did it. This is nothing new. You bring on an old Hall of Famer, you bring on the assistants to pretty much run everything, and you go with it. This is beyond that it's just Jason Kidd. The media has put the spotlight on Jason Kidd since the summer when he went outside and took that phone call, and they made this into something.
Why does Lawrence Frank, you know, get demoted and all that? How does all that go down? If this is guy
that's
that
what I mean,
to be
it had to be something where he feels like this man is trying to surpass his authority. It had to be something, and he couldn't get him fired. So
and why would he?
They
do
had
that?
To demote
why would
him.
He do that? Why would he do that?
Maybe Jason Kidd feels like he's done it before when they ran Byron Scott out of town. Maybe Lawrence helped him with that. I don't know.
Well,
I
think it's a combination of things, man. Jason Kidd, I mean, look, even with that little – it was kind of Bush League, man, with the damn water thing, man. I mean, come on, man.
The great Dale Harris did it.
Well, maybe he did, man. I don't remember that shit.
That's
maybe
where he got it. Well, that's where he got it from. He was on the Mavericks when Dale Harris did it.
Yeah. It was brilliant. I wouldn't have thought. I have never seen it done before, but it was brilliant, you know, to get dropped to play. But at the same time, man, they have no chemistry out there, dude. And the more people that they depended on to get hurt, look, you put stock in Lopez, can't never stay on the court. Darren Williams, off a bad year last year, injury prone too, you know. You know, you got Paul Pierce, aging motherfucker.
Joe Johnson.
You know you can't have a lot of minutes in these bastards, you know, like Paul Pierce. And then, you know, he gets hurt. So, I mean, all this shit was, you know, like you built a deck of cards and you basically had to hope that no wind blows.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it is what you get, man. And then on top of it, when shit does go wrong, you don't have that seasoned guy in there who, you know, can say, who can rally these dudes and, you know, try to make some changes or something.
Hey, man, Doc Rivers ain't rallying these dudes. Ain't nobody rallying these old dudes, man. They got old bones.
Man, let me ask you a question,
Billy
man.
King will never get a GM job again because of this,
man.
That Philly thing just hurt
question,
him. This kill, he's never going to get a job again.
Let me ask you a question, man. Derrick Rose go down. Bulls had all those injuries last year, missing guys left and right. What happened? motherfucker made adjustments and he found ways to make things work to give them the best chance to win.
Wait a minute. You're simplifying that way too much. They had Joakim Noah at center. He's a top five center in the East. You got Carlos Boozer at power forward, who I don't like personally, but still.
And they
he's
still
a top
struggled
five
to score,
power
and
forward.
They won because
yeah,
they played
team
defense.
Was good enough to
he
do
gave
that.
Them he preached, the principles that he preached enabled them to go out there and with a scheme to win ball games. They preached defense.
It's the scheme, but it's the talent, too. I mean, people like to say that about the Bulls just because Derrick Rose is so good and they can be so bad offensively sometimes. But that team is – just look at the East. That team is so much better than the rest of the East, even without Derrick Rose, besides Indiana and Miami.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You're asking Kidd to do what Thibodeau is doing, but he don't have the parts.
Well, you're making my argument there. The East is so damn bad.
Well, that's how bad the Nets are. Yeah,
that's how bad the Nets are. They can't even compete.
Right,
so that's more of a combination on Jason Kidd.
Let me jump in on this.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Is the East really that bad, or is everybody tanking and trying to get Jabari and Anthony Wiggins?
Oh, good point, man. Good point. Everybody's missing that point. Good point. That's at least a quarter of it. The teams that planned on tanking before the season started. Good point.
I'm like, my Hawks, they just beat the Clippers tonight, and I'm like, man, what the hell are y'all doing?
Hey, the Hawks going to have to trade Horford if they want to start tanking because they're not bad enough.
Man, they need to get rid of Paul Millsap, too.
Oh, Millsap out there playing for a contract, man.
James, what you saying? Hey, don't guarantee this because you tank. This means you're going to have more lottery balls in the ping pong.
We haven't had a superstar in this city since Dominique.
Yeah.
Now, there's potentially five superstars in this particular draft. I'm looking at the Hawks roster. They got a team of good and maybe one or two very good players. Everybody else is good or below. You're not winning the championship with that team.
Right.
Going to the playoffs and getting knocked out in the first round.
Right.
Now,
James, to piggyback on what James is saying, though, they have the Brooklyn Nets first round pick, which could end up being a lottery pick.
I thought that was 2015, man.
No, it's this year. It's this year. Matter of fact, shout out to Gordon. He the one who put me on to it the other day. Yeah, they got the pick this year.
Even more incentive for them to hope that shit stays bad in Brooklyn.
Right.
Well, how would this sound? You mess around and get Jabari Parker and Anthony Wiggins. Shooting guards?
No, that ain't happening.
Atlanta ain't never been that lucky. I'm talking
Hell
in
no.
the history of sports for that shit to ever happen. Hey,
matter of fact, David Stern to throw that envelope away. If he ain't letting both of them go to Atlanta.
Maybe they're going to agree.
Everybody's saying to Parker and Wiggins, man. I'm telling you, there's other cats out there, man, who might be.
Randall, but either way, I'm taking
Randall Smart. I think Gordon from Arizona. Even scratched the surface yet of what he's going to be probably at the end of the year. He's still got a long way to develop his all around game, but he's athletic as hell. And then the kid Chris Walker just got eligible today too. So we're going to see what he brings to the table. That's another highly thought of guy, man. 6'10" kid who can handle and shoot. We'll see, man. I'm not saying that these guys are better, but let's see how this thing shakes out over the year, man. That kid's smart. That kid's smart. Ain't no joke, man.
Yeah, they're good. They're all good. But the thing is, Parker is a superstar, man. If I got the chance to get Parker, I'd get him over any of those guys because Parker looks like a superstar. And as good as Wiggins is, you ain't going to be mad if you get one of those other guys.
Well, the thing I like about – because at first I was all on Wiggins, but I've been watching Parker and – his offensive game is together already.
Yeah.
Like, he's further along offensively than Wiggins. So,
yeah, it's the handle.
And I'm hoping that Wiggins don't turn into a – what's that kid name?
There's so many guys that could be. super athletic, but just doesn't develop as a basketball player.
That
could happen. Oh, not Felipe Lopez.
Yeah, Felipe. We
nah,
like,
man, he's way more.
Down. I want to make
way
sure.
He, he's a next level athlete though. So even like at his worst, you're looking at somebody who you'll just constantly criticize, like Vince Carter, like we did Vince's whole career. He's still gonna be athletic enough to do that, you know, get the open floor and get buckets. But Parker though, man. But like those guys, like the most of the people out here looking at this group are saying though, Wiggins' ceiling though. If Wiggins does hit on his potential.
I'm telling you, man, the kid got all the tools, man. All he needs to do is be consistent. The only way you're going to be consistent, man, is to get that seasoning, you know, at this level, man. He has to develop on his consistency, work on his game, work on his jump shot, you know, work on his handle, you know, work on, you know, his step backs, work on some moves, man. You know, just be consistent. If he gets that consistency under his belt, I mean, sky's the limit for that dude, man. I mean, you saw it against Duke. He was a hard cover going to the basket. There wasn't nobody who, when he made up and put his head down, went to the basket. He could score. He could score at will. And I think sometimes, man, maybe playing on that Kansas team, he becomes a little less aggressive because these past few games here, man, he hasn't been looking that great.
Well, Barnes, that's because he doesn't. He can't create his shot as well as Parker can at this stage. That's why. He has to have somebody feed him or let him catch it in a favorable area. He can't just get the rebound and bring it up, set it up, and go by somebody. And, you know.
Oh, he can fly. That was really when he was at his best in that when you get him on the break. I mean,
when he's on the break, yeah, it's a wrap.
Yeah, and when he slashed into the basket. But otherwise than that, yeah, you're right. He does need to work on developing. You know, the outside game.
Yeah,
and
just creating
his
shot.
Yeah, creating his own shot, whether it be, you know, pull up, pulling up off the dribble or, you know, driving to the basket. But he seems to be better at either slashing to the basket and scoring, or, he doesn't really have a post-up game, but he can post because he was doing it against Duke when he had the matchups.
Yeah,
so,
look, even without the jumper, if that dude gets to the league and says, I'm going to the rim, he's going to go to the line all season, and he's going to be damn near 20 points a game if he just goes to the rack, if he's one of those guys, never really gets a jumper. He still can be effective. Like I said, I like him. I just like Parker a little more, man. He got that Madison Square shit.
Name me one guy who came out of that Kansas system who was like who's ever been in a, you know, the Kansas, even when it was Roy Williams, that was like dominant, you know, dominating the team.
Paul
Pierce didn't even dominate. He didn't dominate on that Kansas team. He was
good
player.
They had Rafe LaFrance and all those other guys.
Yeah.
But looking at Parker, though.
He got players with him, too. Wiggins got players with him, too.
Yeah, true. I'm not knocking him saying all this. I still think he's very good. And guys like him don't come along every 10 years or so. You're not going to see a Wiggins and Parker every once in a while, man. This is going to be one of those drafts, but.
This is why
I'm just more a Parker guy right now. I feel you on Wiggins. I'm not knocking Wiggins.
I
still think it's gonna come down to why, because that kid's smart. His game improved last year since I saw him last year too.
Yeah.
And, there's a lot of. I mean, there's gonna be some good talent. So even if you don't hit, maybe the top three picks.
Right.
Might be able to, you know, catch one of these other guys who may be not as highly thought, and you know, catch lightning in a bottle with one of these guys. Man.
Right. Well, speaking of that, I guess just to end this draft talk real quick. Sometimes though, when you try to hit on that potential and what it could be, you could end up like the Cleveland Cavaliers, a couple of top lottery picks on their roster to add with Kyrie Irving. And the other guys just haven't panned out to what they thought they could be. Tristan Thompson is coming along, but he's not.
Man,
starter level guy.
I could have told you that, man. I could have told you that.
Deion Waiters, they got him on a trading block. And this kid,
Tristan
Anthony
Thompson,
Bennett,
man,
is struggling to get minutes. Go ahead.
Tristan Thompson is averaging a double double.
Yeah, on a very, very bad team. I don't think it's a double double like like Varejao would get, to where these are rebounds that are important and you're kind of pushing your team over the edge. I think he's just putting up numbers and they're getting their ass kicked. I don't think it's in the
Actually, they're hanging in the game. They're not really getting whooped. I don't think they've been whooped but a couple times. But right now, they're just a young team and they got to get coached up.
Coaching up is one thing. Admitting that you missed on the pick and trying to trade it and get another position or another guy is another thing. I think they're coming to that conclusion that these aren't the guys they want to wait on, and now they're looking to unload them if they can.
Well, what they did is they have too many people playing the same position. So they need to get rid of some people so they need to get out there and get time. The best way to get time and show your worth is to get out there on the court and play. And they got like a log jam of power forwards, a log jam of small forwards, slash shooting guards.
Yeah, but nobody solidified it as it being their spot. So that's what I'm saying. Okay, well, Jay, let me get to you like this then. Deion Waiters, Tristan Thompson, and Anthony Bennett. Do you keep all of them and move forward, or do you look for a trade? Because I think you're making excuses for those guys now. And I'm not trying to knock them. I just don't think they're top lottery pick guys that you come away with.
Well, check this out. You have Anthony Bennett. You have Tristan Thompson. You got Earl Clark. All these guys play the same position. Deion Waiters. What's the other dude's name?
Right. I understand that they're playing, that some of them play similar positions. I'm saying nobody is taking those spots and locking them down to where you say, okay, I got my two guard, or I got my three, or I got my four. I don't think they're saying that for any of those guys.
Well, see, what they need to do is trade some of that talent to get, like, a veteran in there that can help them. Like, if they send some of their talent over to, let's say, the Nets or whatever, because the Nets need to get some young legs out there. That'll help them out a lot. And then they got another veteran, like, say, Paul Pierce or something. That might help solidify them or whatever.
Yeah, but Paul Pierce is a big contract, man. Do you want to take on a contract like that on a bad team that you have in Cleveland? So I don't know if that's really an option.
How much time is left on the contract? 1 year, 2 years?
Something like that. I believe
it's
two.
I'll take the chance for 2 years. Yeah. I mean, what you think they're going to do? Get the number one pick again, and then they'll still be logged in.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I say you got to move those guys. I don't know. Barzy, what say you, man?
I don't think they can move. I think the problem is the coaching. I've never been really a Mike Brown fan as far as offensive coaching. So, now as far as defense, yeah. But Mike Brown, I've never been a fan of his as far as the offensive coach. So they may need to, I don't know who he has as far as running his offense or whatever, because I don't know if he's still trying to run the Princeton offense or not, because I haven't been watching Cleveland. But if that's what he's trying to run, then that may help out. But if he's still trying to run that same isolation stuff that he does and all that crap, that's not helping out with the players that he has. Another problem he had, too, with Kyrie Irving, he's still in and out of the lineup with injuries. When he was in the lineup, they seemed to play a whole lot better. But when he's not in the lineup, then they really struggle. So it's just going to come down to – and another thing, he's still rotating the lineup in and out, as far as who's going to start this game and that game and stuff. So you can't really get into a rhythm of play because he's still mixing and matching the lineups up because you don't really know the personnel and which personnel work best together, and they don't really have no starters. You don't know who the starter's going to be. He has probably two starters, maybe three starters, and everybody else is rotating in and out. Matter of fact, and then those starters still rotating in and out. And then you still have to deal with the injury factor, too.
They missed on those draft picks, and they're in trouble now, man. I agree. I think you got to tear it down, man. You got to start making some trades and figuring out something, because why the hell would Kyrie Irving re-sign with this? You're not going to get Kyrie to re-sign with this. He's going to walk away, just like LeBron did.
Well, Kyrie, his problem, like I said, he got to stay healthy, too.
Yeah,
and
true.
And he hasn't been staying healthy. And I look at the lineup, I think they got a pretty good young lineup, and they'll just get better as the year goes along. But if they don't get better as the year goes along, I put that on the coaches, man. So,
yeah.
But we have to get them guys coached up, and so they'll know their roles.
Damn. Barzin jumped off.
He's going to be back on his list.
Yeah.
I'll go with you a few more minutes. Until you come back on.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't know what to say about Cleveland. I was trying to go to that baseball thing with him next on that Yankees, but I wait to see if he's going to call back in.
Okay.
Looks like Kobe is coming back, so the NBA ain't done. And let me get your thoughts on what you think Kobe's going to do and Blazers and Pacers out here. Looking like the best teams out there.
I don't really think Kobe's going to do that much. He's going to get out of the game. I don't expect him to play no more than maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes at the most. And then go to the bench, and then he'll probably miss the next couple of games.
Man, this Kobe Bean Bryant, though, man. I think he's coming back playing 20-plus, putting up 20 shots.
Okay. He come back playing 20-plus, putting up 20. Because right now the team wins. I think they like a little bit, a couple games over 500. You come back doing that, you're going to mess up the Florida offense. They're not going to win right now. They're kind of playing basketball, no superstar. Everybody and anybody can get their shot off and contribute. Kobe come back, the ball don't stop. He's going to have that Carmelo effect. Except he got raised. So, other than that, I don't expect them playing that first game back. I don't expect them to play that much.
Yeah.
He shouldn't expect to play that much either. I know he might want to, but just for the longevity. And right now, if they're playing well and they look like they're going to make it to the playoffs or whatever, they should just work them back in slowly and build them up. And I want to play him on back-to-back nights, and I just build him up. That's the way coach gonna have to be a coach. And tell Kobe, hey, man, you're going to sit down and chill, man. And just let it. He's going to go with the flow. And that's for if he want to play at least another 2 years, probably at a high level. I'm not sure how good he'll be. Coming back, he might.
Right.
He could probably, I mean, if you put him out there and let him play, I mean, he probably could really do. Put up the numbers. But would he be able to play the next game? Or the next game, no matter that, how's that going to affect? You know, so.
Right.
I'm looking at his long term here.
Mm hmm. Either way, man, the Lakers going to start selling those seats out again, and we will see L.A. packed. I didn't really have nothing else, man. We was just doing a quick show. I know you got work in the morning. Bars, you back?
Yeah, I'm on, man.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess let's rewind it before Bars gets out of here. I guess we didn't hear your end result on Cleveland and those draft picks. Because I'm looking at it like this. If we saw Josh Marvin and the other Josh, and we watch those guys develop as young guys, you could see a certain ceiling after a few years. With these guys, I don't think they're as good as that group, and that's not an elite group to me. So, I mean, what do you do in Cleveland?
Hey, man, it's obvious to me that they reached on a lot of their picks. I mean, Tristan Thompson wasn't considered to be taken where he was taken in the draft. They reached on him. They reached on Anthony Thompson. I mean, sorry, not Anthony, Anthony Bennett. They reached on, I think, even Deion Waiters.
Where
he was taking trouble.
He was like five.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously reached on a lot of guys, and they hope to you know, to lighten the fire. I don't know the scouting. I don't know who does this scouting. I don't really don't, but, I mean, obviously there were some guys who had better upside, who they were trying to build a club that, you know, that would be ready, but I don't think the pieces that they've been trying to run out there really fit. Tyler Zeller was, you know, I don't have a problem with them getting Tyler Zeller, but I do question the Tristan Thompson, the power forward, Anthony Bennett, especially so high. They hit on Kyrie Irving, but pretty much everything else, the high picks have been questionable, man. And anytime you have, you know, you don't hit on these picks, man, it can, the end result can be like what you see now.
Yeah, you set back a few years, and how the hell you going to re-sign Kyrie Irving with that?
Yeah.
Unless Andrew Bynum gets some kind of health miracle, why the hell would Kyrie Irving come back?
Good point, man. I don't know.
So
I couldn't even tell you.
Because they're going to pay him more money than everybody else. That's why.
Hey, man, you make that money on the next contract. He's a young dude, man.
Yeah,
it's just like Dwight walking away from the Lakers. It's just like Dwight walking away from the Lakers, leaving that money on the table. He knows he's going to get another contract.
Well, he made the money back up on not having to pay taxes. So I'm pretty sure, from what I understand, the California taxes is like serious. They almost equivalent to New York taxes.
Yeah, but okay, let's put it like this. How much is your contract worth in Cleveland if you're just a perennial loser, all-star, who never really does too much in the playoffs, as opposed to you going somewhere else for a little less and getting that starlight shined on you, getting playoff games and getting wins? I think that's way more valuable than the extra 20 or 30 you could get from whatever team you're supposed to sign with.
Not really.
I think that's different for
you. In the early part of your career, like everybody says, you're trying to maximize your money. You're trying to get as much money as possible. It's only in the latter part of your career, after your second contract, that's when people start, you know, like after the second contract, they start taking the pay cut.
Yeah,
try
but
to
still,
get a championship.
But hold on, Jack. The contract he signs is going to be 3 years probably with an opt-out. It's just like LeBron and them going down to South Beach a few years back. This offseason now, they have the option of getting out of that deal. So, I mean, you don't have to sign some kind of long-term deal. You can sign something to get another
contract with LeBron. So.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that possibility's there. So you don't have to think of it like Cleveland has the extra money for you. You could just go somewhere else and come back and get that money later.
Oh, shit. All you need is $20 million, man. I'm not sure how much Nike fan. Is it Nike with?
Yeah, who are those commercials with, the Uncle Drew commercials? I can't even think of that. Damn.
That's Pepsi, I think. That's Pepsi.
That's Pepsi? Oh, okay.
That's Pepsi. Okay, so I'm not sure how much Pepsi is paying him, but that will probably determine on whether he would decide to stay with Cleveland long term and getting that extra money as opposed to moving on to somewhere else.
Hey, man.
I mean, but
in the history of the NBA, there's a lot of guys who averaged a dub somewhere and nobody cared because they didn't win anything. It's much better to go with B in the mix. Oh, go ahead, Bart.
I was looking at the 2011 draft, and Tristan Thompson was fourth pick.
Mm.
And you had Valanciunas. You also had Klay Thompson. You had Kawhi Leonard, Iman Shumpert. I don't know. There wasn't a lot of great guys in there, but
yeah.
How do you take Tristan Thompson over Valanciunas or whatever his name is?
Well,
that kid looked like
they were trying to upgrade the power forward spot.
Yeah, but the NBA talent is limited. You cannot get out there talking about we getting this spot. You got to pick where the talent is. That stuff never works out well, man. They messed up big time. And to be honest, Derek Williams would have been a better option. Well, I guess he wouldn't have been there because he got picked early, but I'm just talking about talent-wise.
Yeah, he got picked, too.
He got Williams,
Cancer.
Yeah, Cancer.
Okay,
he's going to
play better on the West Coast.
Man, a lot of people crapped out in that draft because you had Beverly, Biombo, Brandon Knight,
motherfuckers.
Jimmer Fredette went top 10, and I think he just got released the other day, a wave.
Well, I knew Sacramento messed up on that too. Like,
Vucevic made it all the way to 16. That's Vucevic, Kawhi Leonard. Damn, you're right. This draft is crazy.
That was a pretty bad draft.
Marshawn Brooks in the second round, who basically ain't done shit yet, but
right,
nobody's taking him. The great Kyle Sigler was in that draft. Huh?
Hey man, he's the shooter on Detroit though. He got him a spot, man. He ain't giving it up.
Yeah, that was a horrible draft, dude.
His draft
Biombo.
Jimmy Butler in the second round. Norris Cole at 28. Jimmy Butler at 30. You did your work. It looked like you could have came out with something.
Well,
Chandler
Parsons
at
Jimmy 38. Butler.
That's the steal of the draft.
Out with Norris Cole.
Yep. Chandler Parsons 38 though. That's the steal of the draft.
When I told you that, you tried to clown me, man. I said that dude could play, and you were clowning me, man. Because
here we go with the bars. He's changing the story again.
I watched the kid play in Florida, man. He had game. I tried to tell him.
I didn't say nothing bad about that, man. Barzy,
he started cracking up like I told you a joke, man. Like I was trying to sell you some bad food or some shit, man.
I thought Chandler could play, man. The other kid was the one. What was the kid with the headband, Walsh or something like that?
Walsh
was the one I didn't think could play.
Nah, he was more athletic than Walsh. Walsh could dunk and slash, but Parsons got it. Parsons like 6'10", dude.
Parsons got that fire jumper, man. That jumper is water.
And he could shoot. And he could throw it down on you.
Yeah.
See the one where he threw it down on Durant?
Yeah, he caught him slipping.
Parsons got a nice game, man. Played small forward at 6'10". He's a player, man. I watched him in Florida, man. He was the kind of a do-it-all type of guy, kind of like Matt. You know, like how you were thinking Matt Walsh was.
Right.
You know that was the kind of dude that he kind of patterned his game after. I think he was a big fan of his or something like that. Watching him coming out of high school.
Well, man, the dude can play, and he's on the best contract in the NBA because he got picked 38th in the second round. So Houston has him for the low.
That shit ain't going to last, though. He only got, probably one more year of that shit.
Right. But, I mean,
no,
either
those
way.
Deals only like, those deals are only like 3 or 4 years, man.
Right.
He probably on his way.
A team option on him. So they redid the option, and now I guess he's ready for his money, but.
Well, the second round contracts aren't guaranteed, so they had to re-sign him. They had to re-sign him to a permanent contract.
But they put the team option in that though, because if you're a second round guy, you have to take the contract. So they put the team option in, so then they can decide whether they want to keep you or not after either that first or second year. So I'm sure there's a team option in his deal if they got him in that late.
Man, he's got to be coming up for his contract this year or next year because he's been in the league for 3-4 years.
Right.
I'm almost positive looking at this shit, man. This damn draft. The teams just be fucking taking dudes, man, who they probably don't expect to make their damn roster, man. or to be, just kind of filling the roster for a couple of years to see how they pan out and get rid of these motherfuckers. Some of these dudes, man. I mean, look at these second-round picks, man. These are god-awful, man. Some of these dudes, John Diebler. Who the fuck is John Diebler?
Yeah, that's the shooter from Ohio State. He couldn't do really too much but shoot. But he's about 6'5", and he had a jumper, but I mean, he can't play two guard in the NBA.
Hey, when that pop seed draft for the Hawks?
Oh, man, I don't know.
That pop seed draft, they drafted a dude that's 20 years old riding the bench in France. I'm like, man, what's this? And they needed a 7-footer.
Oh, wait a minute. Last pick of the draft, Isaiah Thomas on the Kings.
Yeah.
He's an NBA player. He's, you know,
who the fuck
guy.
Is Keith Benson, dude? When did the Hawks draft this dude, Keith Benson? I see he's on that.
Oh, we drafted him in like 2011. Yeah. And I watched him.
Did he make the roster?
I thought, man, they keep sending him down. And he played good in the summer league, and they won't never bring him up. I don't know what the hell.
And Mike Scott must be giving him work in training camp.
Man, I watched him in the summer league, and I was like, they be playing these bombs. It's like they pull out these guys. What is guy? These guys, they got I don't even know what the guy's name is. He's like a 6'10", 6'11", foreign guy, bald head. All he does. Is stand
you talking
up
about that real big guy a couple years ago, Siler?
No, he's out there right now.
Oh, okay.
They got Keith Benson. Yeah, that dude.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I thought that was a black dude first time I seen him, man.
Yeah,
dude
man.
Got a jumper. He got a jumper,
dudes,
though.
Dude, all them dudes do is stand out there and shoot threes. I'm like, you going to grab a rebound? You going to try to go down there?
Nah, he ain't about that. He ain't about them elbows, man.
He about that life, man.
The Lakers got good luck in the second round. Well, I guess that.
Has he even played for their asses, man? I mean,
he played.
He don't get much burn.
Nah.
He played a couple of games. I don't think he on the team, no. But, man, I watched him in the summer league. He played good. He's putting up double-double in the summer league. He was dominating cats, and then they come back out there next year, and they still running the same old dudes. I'm like, man.
That was Bobby Crimmins' dude over at College of Charleston, man. He kind of took him as far as they could go.
Hey, man, and just remember about that summer league, man. Bellinelli averaged 30 one time in the summer league for a good week, killing dudes. So, I mean, the NBA game is totally different when you start talking about the talent discrepancy.
Well,
but either way, man.
Like I've explained to y'all before, if this guy been in the league 8 years and he averaging 5 points or less, why is he out there starting? You might as well try the new guy.
Yeah, it depends on what he does, man. Depends on what he does. For some guys, I agree with you, but for other guys, there are things that they do for a team that you got to keep them, man. It's that Robert Horry shit. Hey, some people got it. You got to play him.
Robert Horry could have been bigger than he was. He could have been a superstar on the later teams, but he didn't have a killer instinct as far as just go ahead and be the man. He was fine just sitting back being the secondary guy.
Yeah, but James, how is he going to get his shot every night? Or he doesn't play in the post, really. He's a spot-up shooter, streaky shooter. So, no, he was never going to be a consistent 20 points a game guy, but he was going to be that 10 points a game, multiple-position winning team guy, man. I'm a big Horry fan, but.
Well, in the era he played.
He got limitations.
In the era he played, he was faster than the guys his size. And he could have gone ahead and did more as far as scoring goes. He didn't have to go into the post. He could have beat them guys off the post. He like Josh Smith is now. Now, he could have been a better Josh Smith with a jumper and stuff and took guys to the hoop. Backed them down, took them to the hoop, and they couldn't stop him because the power forwards and the small forwards were too small, or the power forwards were too big, and he just run around and take them to the hoop, draw the five, or shoot over.
Okay, hey, that was what you want to roll with, man. I ain't going to argue with you on it. You know I disagree, but I ain't going to argue with you on it. I see where you stand on it. And like I said, I'm an Horry fan. I definitely mess with Horry, man.
Yeah. A lot of time, that stuff is just mentality. And certain guys don't have – they got all the ability, but they don't have the mentality to go out there and just be the alpha dog. So
can't have too many alpha dogs on the roster, though.
Well, I mean, me too.
Yeah, look at your Knicks right now, Barzy. Woo! What?
Yeah. Hey, man, it ain't the saving grace is that Brooklyn is worse.
Right, right. Brooklyn's worse. That's the
They got a dumpster fire out there, man. We just got a whole bunch of mismatch. We got, like, I guess you can call Carmelo a diamond, man, but, yeah. But, you know, he got a lot of, you know, he's part of the problem, too, man. I'll just put it to you that way. He's got to change his game, too, man. He's got to change his game, too.
He's not going to change his game. He's not going to change his game.
He ain't going to change his name. He got to get on the road like Bernard King or somebody. He got to go out there. If all I'm going to do is give you buckets, then you got to give me a lot of buckets. It can't be no 40% shooting.
Dropping 40. You better be busting close to, you know, high 30s, averaging high 30s, man.
Right.
Let me rephrase that. He's changed his game a little bit as far as he's been grabbing rebounds. The last few weeks, he's gotten probably about 5 to 8 double-doubles, which...
That's still my thing, though. That ain't what makes Melo a factor. Melo is a factor when he's plus 50% shooting, giving you 25 plus. That's what Melo's that guy.
Because he's never been a double double guy.
What all those double doubles get him? He never
rebounded before. Now he's down there rebounding. He'd average about 5 rebounds a game. He'd take about 25 shots, get you 30 points a game or whatever. But he's getting like about 4 or 5 assists now. He wasn't doing that before. So since Tyson Chandler's gone now, he's taking it upon himself to go down there and rebound the ball.
He is not an elite level playmaker like that to where he can make your team so much better by making plays for everybody else. He's not that guy. I need you to be buckets Melo, and you got to get that shoot percentage up to where you're just killing people. We need to see some Bernard King stuff in New York from Melo.
He can't do that because he don't have talent around him to do that. He's going to have to go down there and get them rebounds and try to get putbacks and easy baskets like that because the Knicks don't have no talent around him. Carmelo and matter of fact, That whole thing is basically the Denver Nuggets.
Oh, man, he's shooting 42% from the field right now. That ain't going to cut it, man.
Who helped him? Who got to help him?
I'm not saying he's on a great team or anything like that. I'm just talking about Melo in particular and what he has to be that guy that everybody thinks he is.
You think him and Kobe can play together?
What'd you say?
You think him and Kobe can play together in L.A.?
If they had to, I think they could. If both of them knew they couldn't win anymore alone, I think they could together.
I think Kobe knows he can't win alone.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they could. But, yo, we got to get out of here in a second, man. I know I didn't kept us longer than what we said. So let me throw out the last topic. Let me go to Barzy first. Red Sox lose another one, or did they let him walk? Can you explain this situation, man?
Man, that's crazy, man. Shit, man, I don't like that kid Ellsbury too, man. I was kind of hoping the Red Sox could keep a hold of that kid, man. But I don't know, man. That 7, you start talking long-term contracts, man.
Right.
For $100 million, man, that scares off a lot of teams, and only certain teams can afford that to hit and miss on that big of a contract. And I think, you know, coming off of what Boston with those contracts they had with Gonzalez and Crawford before, I don't think they were apt to make the same mistakes twice. So they let him walk, I believe, because of the money.
At a certain number, the Red Sox were like, for him, oh, no, we're out. There's no way we're paying him that.
Yeah, because they had just given us a similar deal to Crawford, which they ended up having to dump when they made that trade with the Dodgers.
Right.
So I think they weren't as apt to get back into the boat, especially for a guy who hasn't been as healthy, as, you know, during the course of, you know, over several seasons. So I think they were looking at, you know, risk, reward type of thing. But when he's healthy, man, the guy's probably one of the better leadoff players and, you know, leadoff men in baseball, man. A guy who also hit 30 homers from that leadoff spot, man. You know, showing he has some pop. So he got a deal similar to what Crawford got, but I think it was just too much of, you know, too sweet for the Red Sox blood. So I think they did let him walk.
Well, let me ask this then. With the Yankees, I don't know if this is a PR battle that they were fighting. We heard all that stuff about Cano and $300 million. I don't know if he actually asked for that. I don't know if that's just a battle between them within the headlines to get the number they want. But how do they shortchange him if they give McCann the deal they gave him and Ellsbury the deal they gave him? Or are they willing to just say, well, Cano can go rather than overpay Cano?
I don't think – well, it looks like that very well could be the case, man, but I don't know if Yankees fans are going to accept that. But apparently, man, word on the street is that the Yankees have they don't want to go over $189 million threshold. And they're fast approaching that as far as what they can give Robinson Cano and still be under that threshold. So, you know, especially with these two signings, you know, that, you know, basically takes a – Robinson, I don't think he was ever going to get $300 million from anybody. I mean, it was going to be crazy if someone had just blew him up and paid him $300
million. Well, that's what I'm saying. Was the $300 million just some PR stuff that people threw out there to try to get the numbers that they wanted? Because it sounded
probably
so ridiculous that I didn't think it sounded realistic.
Because if you gave him $300, then my God, what is Miguel Cabrera worth in the next couple of years?
Right.
Shit, man. There's no way he was going to get that. It just makes me wonder, man. You know, he's going to be a $100 million player. I always thought that he was probably a one, you know, anywhere from 140 to 160 type of guy. But I think you got to look at it from the standpoint of if they give Jacoby, which is remember 7 years, 153, got to give Cano 200. Got to give him at least 200.
Okay.
So I don't know if they can still do that and be under their threshold of 189. So I don't know, man. It's looking real iffy, man, as far as him coming back. But I think he as far as where the Yankees' future is, man, I think he got it. They almost have to do it. But what I'd like would it be – well, it ain't going to happen, man, but it'd be funny that the Red Sox fucking signed him. But
right.
they ain't going to do it because they already got second base. So it wouldn't make sense for them to do it, but yeah, man, it's looking like he's got a chance not to come back to New York. Man. That's how it's looking. You reading the tea leaves? That's what it's saying right now. Plus, I heard that the Yankees are in the market for a couple of guys who can play second base too, Infante and the kid that used to play with the Braves. I forget his name, man. Was in Tampa Bay last year. They're talking about bringing them in. So if you're talking about that and what's already taking place with these other signings, not looking good for Cano returning to New York.
Yeah. Well, James, let me ask, I guess take it to you Braves way and say McCann leaving, are you worried about that? And I guess the new Braves, I don't think I heard from you about the Braves moving to Cobb County. Just those two things before we get out of here. Well, I guess we lost James. That's what it is, man. It's been a weird show tonight. shout out to Barzy and James for calling in and trying to knock one out real quick. Anything you want to say in closing, Barzy?
Yeah, man. Just real quick, man. I've been hearing, like, you know, we just hit on the draft real quick. But you know anything about this Dante Exum kid, man? I don't recall watching him play. I think I may have seen a bit of him in the World Championships.
The Australian kid?
Yeah, man.
I just heard about him on Twitter, but the people who I heard from him on Twitter are people whose opinions I respect on basketball. So for what that's worth. I mean, I'll say that. But, no, I haven't seen the kid, though.
Well, they, from what I hear, man, they're saying, like, even he could challenge for number one.
Hey, man, he's better than Parker and Wiggins, I need to see this, man. You know what I mean? I need to see. This was the other question I was going to ask. I should save it for next week, but fuck that. I'm going to ask you this now, Barzy. If you're in a bad NBA city, meaning you're watching one of those teams in the East, or, well, I guess you got a few in the West, who is terrible, would you rather pay for some kind of season pass to watch Jabari Parker or Andrew Wiggins or one of these other guys or the young boys in Kentucky?
Would I rather pay for them?
Well, as opposed to paying for your cable bill or something to watch NBA games and, you know, you get your local game or whatever on, would you want to switch your local game out to watch the college kid all season as opposed to a bad NBA team?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Well, you always want – everybody's in search of the next great, you know, big thing. And, you know, the way Parker started out, I mean, everybody, you know, wants to see, you know, how he plays. They want to get those eyes on him and to watch his games. And if your team is real shitty, you know, there's really not much hope for you doing anything, meaningful in the NBA as far as the playoffs or anything competitive other than to watch an NBA game. Yeah, I would make that swap. I'd make that swap right now if they told me that about the Hawks, man. I'd do it right now. I'd say, give me all the Parks and Jabari. Give me all the Jabari Parks and game. Give me all the Wiggins game. You can take my Hawks from off my team.
And you know I'm saying this basically as the NCAA argument once again about no payment for the players. When you think about the number of tweets and the number of media that Auburn-Alabama game caused out here, which is just a regular season game, the amount of revenue that was raised just on that game and the TV number that they did, the radio number they did, and the talk radio and SportsCenter and everything else they did after the game, it's amazing that these kids aren't getting paid, man. There's no way I should watch Auburn-Alabama for free.
Yeah, yeah, man. It's crazy. People are trying, you know, I mean, but people got to start looking at shit the way that it really is, dude.
Yeah.
There's a reason why they don't want to pay these kids because it takes money out of the pot. There's a reason why it only took now for us to even have some semblance of a playoff. It's because these people with the bowl games, they're major revenue generating machines, and guys can be like, we had that guy who was, where, what was it, the Fiesta Bowl.
Yep.
Dipping his hands in, using it as a slush fund to court and do all these kinds of things, but
right.
Yet the players who are playing in those games see absolutely nothing, and yet people are like,
take this gift bag, here's an iPod for you. Here's an iPod for you, homie.
They're getting paid in a college a college education, but when you fucking go out there and you fucking break your leg and you don't have a chance to have a multi-million-dollar contract and you're not getting anything, you know, there's your fucking education, but yet this guy's making, this guy is taking, using the games that these guys play in as a slush fund and can jet set, do all any kind of thing with the money. Oh, that's cool. You get a fucking education, and that's all you need to, you know, that's all you need to be concerned about. But yet you're putting your career and your health on the line, and there's people making profit, hand over fist, raking in money off of these kids who don't see it. And you're talking about, you know, people saying like, hey, you know, their tuition, they already get paid. You know, they have the tuition paid for. Last time I checked, man, there's a lot of incidental things that you need to go to college where other college students go. Where, like, people, I heard Colin Cowherd say, well, you know, I go to college, I had a, you know, had a job, and, you know, fucking guys can't do that.
And not to mention, you didn't have a special skill. He didn't have a special skill. If he was a world-class violin player, he could have went around and gotten paid. And to sit up and say that right.
Yeah.
And to sit up and say that education is payment is so false, because most of the kids wouldn't be there if it was just based on education, because they're not qualified to get in. But nobody wants to talk about that.
And it's not a full guaranteed 4 year ride anyway. It's 1 year renewable.
Right.
So I mean, it's to me, the people who look at they're looking at them. It's so myopic. And then, well, like, why should we give the kids money? They're having a tremendous opportunity. Yeah, the opportunity is great, but at the end of the day, you're putting a risk out there too. These guys are going out there; they're at risk.
It's a job.
They got to go to school. They got to learn. They don't have incidents. You got some of these guys who come from poor backgrounds, who don't even have money to wash their clothes.
Man, rich or poor, if you work a job, you deserve to get paid for it. I don't care if you're some suburban kid playing football in Alabama, you deserve a check, man. That's a job.
I'm in agreement. There's so much money that are being that the NCAA is raking in, man.
And as the great Jay Billis tweeted, Steve Sarkisian leaves Washington to go to USC. No transfer rules, no tampering rules. No type of violation, anything. He's free and clear to go with a new check and coach somewhere else. It's ridiculous.
If anything people should demand reform on, it's the NCAA. I'm telling you, man, it's egregious, man, the way that things are run and how things are put in place and how they're able to just run roughshod. And basically, like I say, sometimes it's a make it up as you go with that, man.
Right.
It's either antiquated, outdated rule book violations for stupid nonsense that shouldn't really apply, or should be viewed in some objective way, which they don't, or it's shit where they don't have they don't make decisions in a timely fashion. They make it up as they go. They allow coaches to move, but then they give the coaches the decision as far as letting a kid transfer and letting them out of the scholarship. The same coaches who allowed to leave can make decisions for a player as far as where they allow him to go when they release him on a scholarship.
Right. We actually had two coaches almost get into a fight over a comment about one coach thinks another coach tampered with a recruit and then wouldn't sign the release for the kid to go to that kid's school.
Oh, yeah, they're talking about the USC?
Yeah, coaches are actually having a dust-up. But I know I'm holding you long, Barzy. Last question, 100%. What do you think of the Sarkisian hire and how they did my boy, man? The great Ed Ogeron, raging Cajun.
Yeah, one of the people.
Didn't let my man
Ed Ogeron. Hey, man. Look, I always felt that USC, based on what happened this year, that they were kind of in the market for a coach that they would felt best fit their program. Even though Ogeron did a great bang up job, man, he was always going to be in case shit don't work out with who we really feel fits our program, we got Ogeron. So I think when they hire Steve fit their ideals. Yeah, to me, I don't mind the hire, because I was saying if they got rid of Muschamp, he was in the top three of my list.
Mm.
As far as I put together, for the shits and giggles of it. But he was top three, man. I think he was right there behind Sumlin and Stoops. I had him, I think, either three or four. So,
We said this a week ago on the show. Ogeron was not going to get that job. Just who he is culturally, they're not ready for it. Those places like USC, that's why you don't see many black coaches out there. And a Cajun coach is kind of in that same kind of realm. It's going to be tough for him to get a job.
Great players coach, but based on the season that they had, and the high-profile job, you can always get an Ogeron type of dude. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, that's not the kind of dude that you fill a position with unless you say, hey, everybody else that we were going after turned us down. No. That's that's the type of hire that you would make.
And that's the way the coaching is, but I think Ogeron's a good-ass coach. And if you put him in the program, I think
he can
succeed.
I'm not going to say good-ass coach. I'm going to say he's a great recruiter. He did a better job than he ever did at Ole Miss, that's for sure.
Yeah, but that's Ole Miss,
maybe he's learned.
Many people have gone down there and failed.
Well, shit, what's his name? Hugh Freeze looks like he's trying to get it turned around, man. But,
remember how good Kroom looked at first? And then, you know, the reality of the talent disparity showed up, and before you know it, he was out of there.
Yeah, true.
I mean, come on, man. Let's be Mississippi and Mississippi State. Come on, man. It's going to be tough for you to win the SEC, man. It's going to be tough.
I mean, unless you get a guy like Eli Manning, and even Cutcliffe got up out of there because he couldn't sustain it. Because he basically, you know, had it cooking because he had a good quarterback.
Right.
A lot of college football, man, is going to be, you know, how good of a quarterback that you get. But Orgeron did a great job, taking nothing away from him, but I'm not surprised he didn't get that gig, man. You said it, I knew it, everybody else knew it, that was going to be the case. But, yeah, I like the Sarkisian hire, man. I don't think I think for what was out there, I think Kevin Sumlin, he re-upped.
Yep.
He probably turned them down. He probably just used them as a as leverage to get more money out of A&M. I think there was somebody else who was up for that job, man. Probably it was either Peterson or somebody. Somebody else got another, you know, Franklin. It was James Franklin was up for that job. But I don't know, man. If I had a choice between Sarkisian and Franklin, I like Franklin. But Franklin is like, he's that, you know, in-your-face type of dude. You know what I mean? Kind of, you know,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he would have fit their program style, you know, as far as what USC is accustomed to. If he's had it, Franklin's had his own confrontations with Georgia, and, you know, Georgia player, you know, he's very brash, so I'm not surprised he didn't get that gig.
Yeah, but you get that guy some talent, though, man.
Yeah,
he can
do some work. He can do some work, man. I wouldn't have been down on the hire either if they chose him. Well, you don't fit their kind of thing, man. He's kind of laid back at Southern Cal, man. I don't think he fit the kind of thing, the kind of coach that Hayden was looking for, man. And Sarkisian fits that. Based on what Hayden said, what type of coach he was looking for, basically everything that he said, Sarkisian basically checks out. Great recruiter, coach, runs an offense. You know, he had a lot of checks for what he said he was looking for, put a lot of checks for Sarkisian.
Right. Yeah, I agree, man. We definitely going to have to get into this next week, man, really get into college football because we have the end going on. We'll know what the championship game is. And we're going to have to get into some of these recruiting battles and coaching and as well, man.
Yeah, man. It's going to be it's that time of year, man, where recruiting is coming pivotal. So, yeah, you're right about that shit, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is Speaking Like You Think It, man. We're going to go ahead and get up out of here, man. Shout out to Barzy. Shout out to James calling in. Shout out to Gordon. I know he couldn't make it. He's still working or getting out of there. But, yeah, this is Speaking Like You Think It, man. We out.
All right, man. Be easy.
All right.